The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you're part of this community, the community of Jesus apprentices, where we are trying to live the life of Jesus Christ, loving like He loved and served like He served, being like Him. That is the goal for anyone that is following Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We are on this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, and we are starting today our seventh week. We have been together for 6 weeks, and today we are launching the seventh one. And I tell you, it's a special one because we're starting seeing Jesus ministry, serving, loving, and we can have a better understand who He was so we can live His life. As Jesus' apprentices, we have a model for our life. And the model for Jesus' apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the motto that should guide Jesus' apprentices, that should help the disciples of Jesus navigate this world, a direction on how to behave, how to act, how to think based on love. Loving God, loving one another, and loving ourselves. That is so important. And every week of this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we have a memory verse. And we have been studying Jesus' temptations at the wilderness. And we realize how Jesus defeated the devil and his temptations using Bible verses. He used quotations from the Hebrew Bible, from Deuteronomy. So it is important for us to memorize God's word. And today's or this week's memory verse, it is a very important statement of Jesus' mission. Comes from the moment that Jesus on a Sabbath day went to the synagogue for fellowship, communion, worship, and he had opportunity to read the Bible and give explanation of the reading. Somehow it's kind of a sermon, right? And so our memory verse comes from the sermon that Jesus preached. And this memory verse states, what is the mission of the Messiah? The mission of Jesus Christ. Talks about the kingdom of God. And the memory verse is the following. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. What a beautiful statement that we'll be studying this week. Well, today we are finalizing our study of Jesus' temptation on the third temptation. And I think there's so much meaning and so much depth on this study of this temptation and so many lessons to apply for our lives. And for us to be able to see that and to live out the lessons, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that by ourselves, we cannot do it. Therefore, we need God, His presence, His power, His grace, His mercy. And that is the promise that we claim every day as we get together as a community of Jesus' apprentices. The promise of Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. That is the promise that we need to claim. The promise that God is available, to receive us, to have an encounter with us. And when we come before His throne, He has a blessing waiting for us, His presence, Himself. And along with Himself comes grace and mercy that will supply for all our needs. Wow, that's beautiful. So let's prepare for this encounter. Let's prepare for hearing the Holy Spirit's voice so we can be guided by Him and apply the lessons in our life through His power. So take this minute to prepare, to reflect, to pray. And then, after this minute, we'll come for our Bible study. See you in a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together as a community of Jesus' apprentices. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to be sensitive to the impressions and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Help us to apply what we'll be learning today. Lord, we pray for your loving touch. We pray for your intervention, bringing healing, bringing peace, bringing restoration, forgiveness for everyone that is listening to my voice. In a special way, salvation. Bring salvation to us. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, we are finalizing our journey on the temptations of Jesus. So far, we have understood and studied that the temptations of Jesus are related to His identity and His mission and how to fulfill His mission. And in a sense, the main goal of Satan was to disrupt it, to break the connection between Jesus and the Father. Satan was trying to lead Jesus not to trust the Father, not to obey the Father, not to submit to the Father. So it's a temptation of breaking the connection. And here, Jesus overcame these temptations using Bible verses coming from the book of Deuteronomy. And now we come to the third temptation. And on the third temptation, Satan will be using the Bible, the Psalms, one of the most known Psalms, to tempt Jesus. Interesting how Luke, as he's building his narrative of the temptations, how he faces, he puts the Bible as a way to tempt people. How the Bible, that is the Word of God, used for salvation, used for restoration, used for bringing people to Jesus, can be used to hurt, can be used to make segregation, can be used to oppress people. And it is said that sometimes people can use the Bible as their own tools for their own pleasure and for their own goal. That is sad, so sad. And here's the importance for us just to keep with the Word of the Bible, or of God. Don't rely on people's interpretations or people's understanding of the Bible, no matter who they are. I usually say, don't trust my word. Go by yourself and study by yourself. It's not because I'm here doing this video or you're listening to this podcast that I'm wearing a blazer or I have a title, a pastor or a doctor in ministry. Like, don't focus on that. You need to focus just on Jesus, because the Word of God, when is misused, can lead people away from God, not close to God, but away from God. So be careful. Satan, he used the Bible to tempt Jesus, to lead Jesus away from God. So we need to pay attention that we need to focus only in the Bible, and the Bible only. So let's go now to verse 9, where we start our portion for today, and the third temptation. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. Let's pause for a second here. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And now, on the third temptation, according to Luke, Jesus is brought to Jerusalem. You see, Luke and Mark, they have a different sequence. But in Luke, he's bringing this momento, this crescendo, right, where he's leading to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the main focus for Luke. So Jesus now is took to Jerusalem, the capital of God's city, God's people. He goes to the place where God has promised many blessings. And he goes to the most important place, the temple. And I have here a replica of the temple of Jerusalem. Probably this replica is representing the temple that Jesus went. As remember, God's desire was always to dwell among his people. So he asked Moses to create a tabernacle, something that the people of Israel were familiar with, because in Egypt, all the deities have their own house, their place of worship. So God presents a place for them so they can relate, they can understand, and they can relate to God. So they built this tabernacle that later becomes the temple of Jerusalem that was built by Solomon, King David's son. King David was not able to build himself, but Solomon did. And in the tabernacle, or in the temple, was put the Ark of the Covenant. In the holiest place, we had the Shekinah, right? The presence of God. But unfortunately, the people of God turned away from God. And in 605 before Christ, Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed that temple. And since then, we don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is. So in the following temples, even the temple that Jesus visited, the Ark of the Covenant was not there. After a period of exile, some people came back from Babylon, from the Persian Empire, and they rebuilt the temple. A temple that is not a good representation when compared to Solomon's temple. People cried as they saw the temple, and those people knew the other temple, so they saw both and they cried. And then Herod, the one that tried to kill Jesus, he rebuilt that temple to this temple, this replica here, that Jesus was there visiting. Herod, the one that tried to kill Jesus, the good friend of Caesar, he made many projects, building projects, and one of them was the temple. And the temple, for sure, was the most important building in the city of Jerusalem, the place of people made their sacrifice, the place of connection with God, the place for worship. And now the devil brings Jesus to Jerusalem and Jesus to the temple. You see, it's a holy temptation, if I could put it that way. And he brings Jesus to the highest point of the temple. Probably the highest point of the temple was here in the back of the temple. And I have heard some preachers saying, oh, Jesus was brought here to be tempted in front of everybody, and maybe they would see the deliverance of Jesus and then people accept Jesus as the Messiah. Yeah, I understand the logic, but based on archaeology and structure, probably the highest point of the temple was here in the back. And why here in the back? Because in the back of the temple at the time, we had the Kidron Valley. So there is a edge there, and it is very deep. So that is the highest point of the temple, would be and the wall outside here to the Kidron Valley. Just after the Kidron Valley, you have the Mount of... there's a mountain, the Sion Mountain, and you have the Gethsemane. You have the Gethsemane. So it's a Kidron. You have the mountain that even we believe that Jesus ascended to heaven. Just after this mountain, there's Bethany. So on this mountain, Satan brought Jesus to be tempted. And here is the question. What is this temptation that Satan brings to Jesus? Then comes verse 9, let me read. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and he said, if we are the Son of God, jump off. Hey, jump. Just jump. For the scripture says, you see the devil using the scriptures, trying to use God's word to lead Jesus away, he will order his angels to protect and guard you. Verse 11. And they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Satan takes a portion of Psalm 91, a well-known psalm. A psalm of protection of the faithful ones. And he used that psalm to tempt Jesus. Well, Jesus has been faithful to God. Jesus has been faithful to God's direction, God's voice, God's leading. So far, he said no to Satan because he was being faithful to God. God didn't reveal to him, I will not transform the breads, the stone in breads, because God has not revealed, because that's not God's plan for me. I will not worship you and find a shortcut to be the Messiah and rule over. No, my path lead me to the cross. So Jesus has been faithful to God's will, God's direction, God's plan. And now Satan is using a Bible verse, a Bible promise that God has presented to the faithful ones. If you're faithful, hear what God has for you. So Satan say, hey, since you have been faithful, here's this promise. And if you are the son of God, hey, if you're really loved by God, if you're really the son of God, if you are you're really faithful, you don't need to worry. Just jump and God will carry you. You see, Satan has a misunderstanding of the Bible or Psalm 91, or he's trying to use in a wrong way to mislead Jesus. Because the Psalm 91 doesn't say that God will protect us from death. Because if you study and reflect how Satan is proposing his understanding of the Bible, is that faithful ones will not die, will not have martyrs, will not have people that will die. Because if you are faithful, therefore, God will protect you. And it's so sad that we have many people that have this idea that the faithful ones, they are protected and they don't face problems because the Bible says so. But I don't think that's the case. And then when people start facing the problems, they say, oh, problem in facing the problems because I'm not faithful. It is interesting that that was the main mindset of the people. If that person has a disease, it's because he's in sin. He's not faithful, so he's suffering the consequence because the faithful one will not face those problems. The faithful one will not be poor. So if you're poor, it's because you're not faithful. There's something wrong with you. The rich one, those are faithful to God, so those receive that. But Psalm 91 doesn't say that God will deliver us from death, but God will deliver us into death. What I mean by that is the faithful one, it is not supposed to fear death, because the death cannot overcome the faithful one. Because for the faithful one, he has God, and God can bring him back to life. God can resurrect him. So the faithful one should not fear death. The Bible is not saying that faithful one will not face death, but the faithful one should not fear death because God can overcome death. And in a sense, what Satan is trying to tempt Jesus here is against his mission. You see, the mission of Jesus would lead him to death. And Satan is saying, hey, God will not allow you to die because he loves you. But faithfulness to God will lead us to death. Death of ourselves, death for the principles and the values of this world, and probably the death of our life. But we should not fear death. And Jesus didn't fear death. So Satan is misusing a Bible verse to lead Jesus to do something that goes beyond what God has promised, and maybe try to avoid the cross. If you're faithful, you will not need to die. Remember, he's facing the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there is the Gethsemane, where he would face in a few years that important moment that will lead him to death. Satan was trying to deceive Jesus. And how Jesus answered Satan? How Jesus defeated Satan? Here, verse 12. Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Jesus, for the third time, uses a Bible verse. For the third time, he uses a verse that comes from the book of Deuteronomy. And now, he used Deuteronomy 6:16. He has used Deuteronomy 8:3, 6:13, and now 6:16. We should not test the Lord. But in Deuteronomy 6:16, there's a reference to a specific event in the history of the people of Israel in the wilderness. So as Jesus answered with that phrase that is connected to a specific event, he's implying not just words, but a context that sometimes we miss. What event is Jesus referring to? Well, according to Deuteronomy 6:16, the event that this Bible verse is related to is to Exodus, is the event that happens in Exodus 17. And I want to open Exodus 17. And it's so beautiful, this back and forth with the Old Testament. Most of the time, I don't go there. I refer to, but I think today I want to read as well in the few minutes that we have left. So just for you to understand where we are in Exodus 17. On Exodus 13, we have the Passover. The people of God, Israel, they are delivered from Egypt with 10 plagues, and we have the last plague. That's Exodus 13. Exodus 14, we have the Red Sea, the experience of the Red Sea. Right? So God delivered with 10 plagues, lead them to the Red Sea. The Red Sea opens. Then for the people of God go through. And when they went through, the army of the Pharaoh came and was destroyed as the Red Sea closes. So that's Exodus 14. Then comes Exodus 15. There's a worship, and there's a moment that they reach the other side. They have water for people to drink, but the water is not good for drinking. And God performs a miracle through Moses, and now the water is good for drinking, right? So that's 15. Then comes 16. Exodus 16 is manna coming from heaven. There's no enough food, so God provides food for them, the bread of heaven, the food of angels, according to the book of Psalms, right? So 13 is deliverance after 10 plagues, 14 is the Red Sea, 15, we have the water becoming accessible to people to drink. 16, we have manna. Now we have 17. And 17, they reach to a place there is no water around. And they start, okay, Lord, what is going on here? Did you brought us here to die? Where's water? Where's water? Where are you? Are you with us or not? And that's the moment that Moses, he touched the rock and water comes from the rock. But here comes verse 7, and I want to call your attention, because here talks about the test that the people did with God. And somehow is the test that Satan is doing, and somehow here's the answer of Jesus. So, Exodus 17, verse 7. Moses named the place Massah, which means test. Meriab, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and test the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? Is the Lord here with us or not? Is God here? Is he alive? Is he present? Is he faithful to his promise? Even though they have experienced all those elements that I point out, those events, the previous chapters, Exodus, the Red Sea, manna, they are asking, is God with us or not? And now Satan is saying, hey Jesus, is God with you or not? Let's try. Let's see. Just jump. And Jesus said, I should not test God. And I don't need to test God. Because God is with me. Wow. What a lesson. The assurance that God is with us always, all the times, no matter what. I'll repeat, God is with us, always, no matter what. I know and I have heard people say, oh, but God will not be with you if you're doing something wrong. You know what? God is with us all the time. His presence doesn't mean that he agrees what we are doing, but he's with us. And if he was not with us, will not be alive, because it's his presence, it's his Holy Spirit that brings us life according to the Bible. So God is with you all the time. And being with you all the time doesn't mean that he agrees with you all the time, but he doesn't leave you because he loves you. And he is with you right now. And he is with me right now. And I don't need to test. I don't need to ask for approval. I don't need to question that. I should believe, like Jesus did, that God is with us all the time. He's with you all the time. So you don't need to fear. And that is the promise that we need to claim and stay. A promise that God will be with us even though we walk through the valley of death. He is with us. He'll be with us until our last breath. He will be with us. The Bible doesn't promise that we will not face problems, that we will not have tribulations. But what God promises to us that in the tribulations, God is with us. That God will not deliver us from death, but he will overcome death, bring us back to life. That we need to trust. Trust God. And trust that he loves us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us not to fall in temptation, having doubts of if you are with us or not. We know that you are. You are with us even though when things are not going well. We are with us even though we are in sin. You are with us even though we are far from you. You are with us all the time because you love us. So Lord, help us to be with you. Help us to join hands with you and being with you, not letting you go, not turning your backs to you. Help us to respond to you every single day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to those questions, the reflection questions for you to journal, for you to think about it. And here are the questions. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Thank you so much for joining us. I hope to see you tomorrow. If you want to see this episode or other episodes, you can go to our archives that are available on Facebook, YouTube, and podcast, and you can have access to all those channels and others through our website, therescueworker.com. And I hope to see you tomorrow. And remember, God is with you all the time. He's with you right now.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.